Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You got a big surprise coming to you.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bruce Arians, I'm sure you've heard a lot of the conversation about why you stepped aside and how you and Brady didn't get along.
We've got a great relationship and it's never been sour.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Still to come, Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. Plus, Cardinals running back James Conner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That is correct. Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on this terrestrial radio network, coast to coast, the Odyssey app. We say hello to those watching us right now, streaming us right now, live on YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. The Roku channel is going to be our home starting next month. And September is right around the corner. It is going to be free on all Roku devices and select Samsung televisions, Fire TV, Amazon Fire TV, sitting there for free on the Roku channel, which is also free on the mobile app, the Roku mobile app that can be downloaded desktop, therokuchannel.com. That is free. The Rich Eisen Show going to start a hopefully long-lasting relationship with the Roku channel starting in September, and we are so jacked up about it. The we being me, Rich Eisen, along with you, Chris Brockman. Good to see you.
Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
And Jason Feller finishing up his residency today. Del Tufo returns tomorrow. Is that what
yep.
I told?
Okay. And then gone Friday.
Okay, so we'll see it. Why is he just? Why is he coming back? Just to show that he thinks he's part of the program? Is that what it is?
I'll let you decide.
Okay. He's just going to touch up. You know what he is? He's the ghost runner. He'll be our ghost runner.
Just gonna, hey, guys, I'm still here.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
Ready. Let me make sure this mic's on. Oh, yeah.
There it is. Oh.
Hey, yo.
Well, you see, you can do it. You can do it. We chatted with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, and then shortly, in about 18 minutes' time, joining us from the Arizona Cardinals will be James Conner. But let's turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line and find one of the best tight ends in the National Football League, entering his fifth year out of Oklahoma. Joining us here is a Pro Bowler and I guess a roommate of mine and my wife, Susie, for the NFL Honors. Good to chat once again with Mark Andrews of the Baltimore Ravens. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing great. It's good to talk with you again.
I know. We were sitting right next to you, you and your mom and me and Suze, taking in the NFL honors that night. I haven't spoken to you since then.
Yeah, we had a great time. That was a good performance.
Yeah, what by me? Is that what you're saying? Or you're talking about the host?
Yeah, the host was good. You were good. You did a great job, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Mark. I'm very fragile. I need that sort of support. How'd you enjoy the evening? I mean, seriously, what'd you think of that night back in L.A.?
No, it's just a cool experience, you know, just being around, you know, all those guys, all those people, you know. A lot of those guys I haven't really seen, you know, in that setting or at all. So just being able to be there, be around, and get to meet those type of people, it was really, really fun.
Sitting right behind Josh Allen, but you're big enough to be able to see over him, I imagine. Right, Mark? Do you have no sightline issues, right, for you that night?
No sight issues. We're a little bit above him, but he's a big dude.
He is that, but you are too, man. So let's just jump right into this Ravens offense and how things are looking in training camp and preseason. Walk me through it, Mark. How are things looking in year five for you and the Ravens offense?
It's going really, really well. You know, I think, you know, for us, we had good OTAs, you know, period, but, you know, we had a good training camp and you know, kind of finishing up our last padded practice of camp, you know, today, but you know, we have a lot of guys that are making big time plays. We're extremely focused. We're going to be a disciplined team. And, you know, I just can't wait. You know, like I said, it's 9/11, you know, against the Jets. You know, we're going to be ready to go. We're going to be excited about that. It's going to be, you know, obviously a humbling time to be able to play there in New York, you know, on that date. You know, so we're going to come and play with passion.
So, the offense has, J.K. Dobbins back in it. How does he look?
He looks good, man. He's worked extremely hard just getting himself back in the rhythm and, you know, just seeing him back out there the few practices and every time he's, you know, touching the football, every time he's back out there, every practice, he's just getting that much better, that much more fluent and comfortable. So I'm excited to see where he can get.
Well, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mark, you were kind enough to call into this program 1 year ago. I think it was the day after he and Gus Edwards went down in the same practice and you walked us through how the team was feeling. And you were very open about that. I'm wondering how it must feel for you to see him out there a year later, seeming ready to go in week one, Mark.
Yeah, like you said, man, it was tough, you know, both those guys going down. But we know the type of player that he is and what he can do for our team and the type of element that he brings when he touches, you know, the field and he's on the field. So I think everybody's super excited about that, you know. You know, for us, we got to be able to get our run game going. You know, we've got a lot of things with, you know, Lamar throwing the ball, but it really happens when we're able to run the ball. You know, that's when our offense is most dangerous.
And then Isaiah Likely, the kid from Maryland, has had a terrific preseason. He's in the tight end room with you. What can you tell me about him and the role he's going to play alongside you this season?
Man, he's just, I mean, he's just an incredible football player. Doesn't play like a rookie. He's well before his, you know, his years. He's just very, very polished. He's got a football mind, and you don't see that a lot with rookies. So he's going to make big-time plays for us this year. You know, all year long, he's going to be in there, and I'm excited to see him grow. But, you know, he's a really, really good player. He's going to be on the field a lot and making big plays for us.
And then, so are you guys the big play guys? With all due respect to your wide receiver room, they're not getting a lot of respect nationally. So what do you think of that that statement there?
That's not fair. You know, I'm excited. Like I said, the we're almost here. The season is almost here, and we're going to show the world, you know, what we have to offer. And those guys in the receiving room have also worked extremely hard, and they've made a bunch of plays in this training camp, and Lamar's feeding them. And so, you know, I think time will tell, and those guys are going to prove everybody wrong.
Mark Andrews, All-Pro tight end of the Baltimore Ravens, here on the Rich Eisen Show. 12 days before the Ravens go up to New York and play the Jets to open the season in 2022. So let's get to Lamar Jackson. To use the Tom Brady phrase from this past weekend, Lamar is 25 and has a lot of S going on. So when he's out there, is there any point in time where he's brought up his contract in those talks, or you to him, or anybody that's been around you to him at all, Mark?
No. He's just such a... Lamar is such a low key fun going guy. You know, he's not over here in the locker room, you know, talking about his business or what's going on and this or that. So, you know, he has fun with life, and he gets a lot of, you know, flack for just being him. But, you know, honest to God, he's just a good dude, good person, great teammate. And, you know, everybody over here loves him. So, I wish everybody around the world could kind of see that and see how he is. But he doesn't talk about his contract. He's about his business. He's very professional about it.
And I understand that. But, you know, he's a human being. And I'll just give him my two cents. I mean, I have an agent. And whenever there's a negotiation and I hear something back through my agent from management that doesn't make me very happy, you know, I do have to swallow things and go on the air and just be the same person and not let anybody know that. But deep down, it definitely rattles your cage a little bit. He's his own agent. So there's been no sense at all that, you know, he's come from DaCosta's office or from whoever's office and the same guy, nothing at all, zero change, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they've been, you know, kind of open about, you know, they've talked and been here, you know, and, you know, obviously had talks with that stuff. But, you know, me personally, I don't know, you know, exactly what they, you know, what their deal is, you know, with a player being their own agent. You know, that's kind of one of those new things. So, you know, I'm excited for him. I'd hope he gets that deal done. You know, because that's my quarterback. I love playing with him. He's a special player. He makes everybody over here better. And the whole team kind of, you know, rallies around him. So we go how he goes. So I'm excited for him to be able to get that done hopefully soon.
So how has he changed as a quarterback since you broke in together, Mark? How has he changed?
Well, I think Well, I think the more years you kind of accumulate, you get better and better. You kind of see the game a little bit different. You mm-hmm. learn more, but you know, he's matured. He's become, you know, an overall all around quarterback, commanding the huddle, seeing throws, everything. You know, so I think, but that's natural for anybody, and he's already had such a high ceiling, and he's just continuing to get better, and he's extremely hungry. You know, he took this time this offseason to. You know, focus up, you know, have a quarterback throwing coach, not that he needed it. But he's extremely hungry and, he wants to win, and that's really all that matters to him. And so, it's very evident, you know, for him, for us, what we're all about.
And, how has Harbaugh changed in any way, shape or form since you've come in? Has he changed at all? Because again, what a maneuver to switch offenses midstream and make this Lamar's team. And now, have Lamar enter year five under whatever circumstances are happening, and him being able to just, you know, roll with it with Lamar. What about the coach Harbaugh from your perspective, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I've always, you know, seen, you know, Coach Harbaugh as a steady person. You know, he's a guy that preaches all the right values. You know, he's a leader of men, and every team meeting, you know, he's instilling the good values that. That we should all, you know, take with us each and every day. So, you know, I love Coach Harbaugh. I love being able to play for him. And so I don't know if he's changed too much, but, you know, he's an extremely understanding person. He's able to see the big picture most of the times. He'll probably laugh at that. But
why would he laugh at that? Why would he laugh at that?
Just like everybody else, man, being a head coach is not the easiest jobs in the world, you know? So there's a lot to worry about. There's a lot of things you got to think about. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that's one of those deals.
Mark Andrews here on the Rich Eisen Show. And how ready to roll do you think Kyle Hamilton is? I chatted with him a couple times, pre-draft, post-draft, and the concept around the combine of him as a top three pick was being bandied about, and he wound up going to you guys middle of the first round. How ready does he look to you, Mark Andrews?
I think he's going to be special. He's got Isaiah, just a little bit different and, you know, different worlds, but he's got a real good football sense. You know, he sees, you know, kind of route concepts, and he's able to, maybe it's not his, you know, area of the field, maybe it's not his zone, but he comes off on the play because he sees the whole picture, and he's able to make the big time plays, and he's rangy, he's long, and he's going to be able to cover guys, you know. So I think he's a guy that his ceiling is extremely high. He's going to continue to learn to get better, but he's already very, very good, and he's going to be a good player for us on our defense.
How's my guy Ajabo from Michigan? Do you think we're going to see him soon, Mark? What are your two cents on that?
I hope so. We've seen great things about him. I know that, you know, he's a hungry guy. You know, seeing him in the training room, getting ready, mm-hmm. You know, hopefully getting back soon and getting right. You know, because we need that.
Okay. So do you want to give your two cents on the Oklahoma season with your new coach, everything coming up? What do you got for me there? Now, because, you know, your old coach is here in Big Ten country in Los Angeles, Mark. So what do you got for me on that? Right? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think Oklahoma is going to be good. You know, one of my best friends, you know, Tanner Schaefer, is a GA out there, and he says they're looking good. I'm happy about Brent Venables and what he's going to be able to do. You know, I'm a boomer Sooner for life. I grew up an Oklahoma fan, so I'm going to be rooting, cheering for those guys, and you know, I think there's going to be big things ahead.
Are you like the rest of the boomer Sooners rooting against USC as well, or no? You're above that, Mark. What do you got?
I don't pay any attention to him or that program. It's whatever to me.
Mm-hmm. It's whatever to you. Now, that's as critical as I think you're going to get, Mark. You're too nice a guy. I shouldn't even ask you those questions. You know, I shouldn't drag you into my mosh pit. But okay, so you got that. Okay, you're not happy about that. But it's good. You got Venables, who obviously has a tie to the program, and now he's got his opportunity there before you go into the SEC and start teaching some people a lesson there, right? All right.
No doubt. Yeah, he's been around, and he's an Oklahoma guy. He's going to bring that defense, and he's seen a lot of ball. So I know everybody's excited about him in the season.
And Baker getting another shot. It looks like he's getting. Do you chat with him anytime?
Yeah.
Baker's
one of my boys. You know, we chat here and there, and we're so busy during training camp. But you know, I just know the type of person he is, how fiery he is. So I'm extremely excited for him and for him to be able to get that QB1 job. He's a guy that, you know, that team's going to be able to rally behind him, you know, play behind him, and he's going to be able to lead them. He's a fiery competitor, and maybe that's what they need.
Yeah.
So it'll be good for them. I'm excited for him.
All right, tell him I said hi, will you please? Because, you know, I mean, we follow each other. You know, he's kind of gone into a little bit of a shell. He's kind of, you know, he's tightened the rotation. So tell him I said my best.
Yeah. I will.
Yeah, he definitely is focused. I know that, and I look forward to seeing what he can do, and you as well. I always appreciate your phone calls, Mark. Send my best to everyone there in Baltimore, to Coach Harbaugh and everyone else, and let's chat during the season. Look for my calls always, Mark, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You bet. You got it. That's Mark Andrews right here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Baltimore Ravens. God bless Lamar Jackson, man.
Different cat.
Let me just say this. Oh, my God. Negotiations are tough. All right, I'm just going to shoot you straight. Negotiating with the NFL sometimes ain't easy. It's just, and any negotiation that I've had in my career, way back in the day with ESPN when we parted ways, anything to do with this show, yep. I mean, you see me sometimes pacing on the phone or whatever. You see me talking to my agent, Jerry, agent of the stars, right? You see sometimes he delivers me news I don't want to hear.
Sometimes
you've seen a lot of it.
He has to do it.
And I try to...
That's his job.
I try to keep it from you. I try to keep it from the kids.
Well, you're doing a lot of walking.
I cannot imagine Lamar Jackson going to the Ravens and being told something that he should have an agent here.
Doesn't seem like it affects him, though.
Dude, God, that's why I said, that's why I started with this. Bless him.
Yeah, it's wild.
So you're going to go up, you know, Eric DeCosta, you know, the general manager or whoever is talking to you. You're talking to the capologist. I have no idea who he's talking to. Could it be Bisciotti at one point? I don't know. So you go to the owner's office, you go to the coach's office. Coach might be like, look, I'm out of this. Or you go to the GM. GM pulls you in. You're having a talk. Then you got to go back to the huddle and shake that off and then be all in with the guys and for the team and be all in for your coach and for the organization. Man, I do not know how you silo that. I do not know how you silo that at all. I do not know how you do that. Bless him is all I'm saying. And I hope the Ravens can get it done. That's why Mark Andrews is hearing that too. Because agents, I know they take a percentage of your salary, and you might think that that's not what, you might think you don't want to give that percentage away. But boy, do they hear stuff and that you shouldn't be hearing. And then be able to just swallow it, assimilate it, and then go out and, you know, call that play. Try to win that game. Damn. Good luck. Let's take a break. We come back, and it is time to chat with James Conner of the Arizona Cardinals. We've been talking to him way back in the day when he was with the Steelers.
Yeah, man.
What a season he just posted with the Arizona Cardinals, getting set for another one. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here in the program. Great chat with Mark Andrews. Now let's turn back to the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line. All the fans who are calling in to chat with us, we've got a full third hour wide open, by the way. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls the rest of this hour, as well as hour three. Chris Brockman's got burning questions for all 32 NFL teams. You're going to do what, 32?
32 to 26, okay. The bottom seven. Today.
Okay, if you will. Okay, you're going to rank them. The Cardinals are not part of that, right?
They're not.
Okay, so we'll be hitting the Cardinals later on as you get further up
later
the
on.
List.
Later
Very
on.
Good. This man's about to enter year six of a pro career that is going strong, to say the least. What a season. Last year, a touchdown maker of the first variety for the Arizona Cardinals. Back with the team now once again. And back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the great James Conner back here on the show. How are you doing, James?
Man, Rich, I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I am doing better for talking to you. What a great season last year. I couldn't be happier for you. Could not.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Is that the sort of stuff you've been dreaming about last season? James?
Yeah, man, just playing big, you know, just rising up to the moment and just feeling like, you know, playing some of my best ball, even though I still don't feel like it was my best ball. But just, man, just contribute and to just be embraced, you know, and just start something new. It was just real. It was just real for me. It was real, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
What do you mean you didn't think it was your best ball?
You know, just a new offense, you know. So, I mean, I still feel like I play good ball, but I feel like my best ball is just to come this year with having, you know, another year in this offense, stronger camaraderie with the guys. Man, I feel like I'm, you know, my body is better shape, stronger, everything like that. So, you know, you just try to get better year after year, and I know where I was at last year and know I was well this year and what I'm capable of this year. So I just feel like I guess my best ball is coming this year.
Well, I don't really ask many how does it feel questions, but you have had quite the journey. You battled illness. You've come back from so much, James. But and your career, you had your shot when Le'Veon Bell gave you that shot, quite frankly, with his situation in Pittsburgh. And then you go to Arizona in a support role is how you started last year before you burst through. You're RB1 on the depth chart right now. How does that feel to you, James Conner?
I'm grateful and I'm excited to get it started. You know, it's a big responsibility, but you can't, you know, forget the responsibility and the blessing. So I know that you know, it's a big role, and you know, I feel like I'm the man for the job. And so just coming day in and day out, giving what I got, and just being my best self, and I feel like that's pretty good. So and just bring other guys along, you know, with me, the other running backs as well as the rest of the team.
And, you know, the concept in Arizona prior to your arrival, and then last year there was a similar struggle, finishing strong was always has been an issue in Arizona. But starting strong this year could not be more important, it appears, with DeAndre Hopkins going to be out for the first six games. Is that something that is being stressed to you, starting strong as a team, James?
No, I think that this, man, that's in the job description. You know, we understand the circumstances that we're in with players, you know, with D-Hop being gone and whatnot for the first couple of weeks. And so, you know, you just day in and day out, we just preach that message of doing your job, doing your role, being your best self, and stepping up. Man, that's what this game of football is about. You know, it's about stepping up. And so that's the message. The message is finish, you know, all the way through. It's finishing. You got to start fast, of course, but you got to finish. If you can't finish, then, you know, what's starting fast? You know, so you don't just want to start fast and leave it at that. So we're just practicing finishing. We're trying to finish hard and practice finishing runs, doing this and doing the little things, you know, right day in and day out in the building.
How much did last year's finish creep into your thoughts throughout the months between seasons, James?
It crept in there, you know, just knowing how good of a football team we are, and knowing you know, what we're capable of, and the talent that we got. You know, it's unacceptable. We got to finish, you know, and so we had the football team to do it. We had the resources, and now we just got to, you know, we working until we got action. You know, we got action coming up here pretty soon, and the whole squad, we can't wait to get it started.
James Conner, Arizona Cardinals, two-time Pro Bowl running back, coming off of a dream season last year right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what's it going to feel like first week of the season for you, James? I mean, this is it, man. You're back.
Yeah,
the football's back. I could already hear it in your voice right now before you take on the Chiefs, too. My gosh, point for point, points of Palooza. This is it, right? This is great.
No, 1,000%. This is it, you know. So this is the stage is set, you know. This is why we work so hard. This is what all summer was about, all off season. The stage is set, man. We got a great opponent. We at our house. You know, me personally, I feel, you know, I'm juiced up because I feel I'm at home now, you know, and I'm in AZ, and, man, everybody just embraced me here. So now, you know, I'm leaving it all out there on the field every game. So it's just going to be, you know, I just love the environment. I love the city, you know, so this is home. So I'm juiced up, and just go excited when we get to play football. You know, I think that's the, you know, some people, you know, there's outside pressures and whatnot, but at the end of the day, man, we playing football, and this is what we love to do. And sometimes we get fear confused with love. And so, man, there is nothing to fear. You know, that's the message I'm, you know, trying to tell the team. It's just, man, we get to go out there and play football, and we are so blessed and gifted out there. We got a hell of a team. So, man, we just excited. We're just excited.
I could hear it in your voice, James. Like, you'd play it right now if I told you kickoff was in 15 minutes.
I'm ready right now. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We can play on Sunday. But I'm taking advantage of every day we got up until then just to keep building it, building this armor up, and just go out there swinging.
Plus, your quarterback had an interesting offseason, James. I'm sure you noticed what was going on with Kyler. How's he doing?
Yeah, man, just he has growth, though. You know, I think he grew this offseason for sure. You know, he's, of course, a couple headlines and whatnot, but, man, just being by his side through it, you know, us and the whole team, you know, we just see the growth in him. And just know that he just stayed down and just worked, you know. Try to talk about his name, his character, all that, whatever. But we know the real K1, you know, we with him. And so, he's juiced up. He's, you know, one that takes care of everything.
When you say growth, can you give me an example of that, James? You got one for me?
I mean, this growth is this, sir. The only way you can grow is, you know, when you go through things maybe that's uncomfortable for you, or that you put in a position that you necessarily – can't have control over or don't want to be in, you know, but he made it through, you know, with time. And so, yeah, man, just growing. That's the best way I can put it. You know, you go through some and he's still here playing good ball, you know, so he just growing.
Well, I mean, I know you don't speak for another man or another person, certainly another teammate, certainly not somebody as important as Kyler Murray, but when everything was going on about his iPad and, you know, and needing to study mandated and during the week, and they would check and all of that business, that clause that eventually came out of his contract, how was he? Did you call him? Were you around him at any point of that time, that very long 90-hour period, I imagine?
We were just in training camp and still attacking each day, you know, That's our brother. So we just let the outside noise, you know, do what they do. You know, that's what the media, that's what they want to paint pictures and whatnot. We was just in training camp grinding, putting our head down, showing up and working. So, he can answer better for you, but and we was just attacking each day because we know the vision that we have as a team.
James Conner of the Arizona Cardinals here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if you saw Desmond Howard, you know, Desmond on ESPN. Did you see who he predicted is going to make the college football playoffs, James?
Yeah, University of Pittsburgh.
Yes, he did. So you did see that. What do you think about that, James Conner? What do you think?
Man, my university, man, they I love what they're doing. They're you know, coming off of a championship. There was ACC championships, and it's just you know, you just want to lead a place better than you found it, you know. And I never got a chance to win an ACC championship, so it just makes me proud to see them doing that. Seeing the draft picks, you know, I'm excited for Pickett doing this thing in Pittsburgh. And I just, you know, the mentality. I know Coach Narduzzi, you know, the mentality and, you know, the type of coach that he is. Man, them boys are going to be ready. And so it's not far-fetched, you know, for them to make big noise and be in that playoffs. You know, the people won't act surprised, but, you know, we're the University of Pittsburgh, and we can play with anybody.
Well, your former coach in Pittsburgh, in Mike Tomlin, says he's made it seem like he has made a decision who his starting quarterback is going to be in week one against the Bengals. But he's not letting anybody know right now. If he is potentially on the fence, what would you tell him about Kenny Pickett? Or unless you have had this conversation with him, I don't know. But what do you think, James?
No, I ain't talked to him.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I know Kenny had a great preseason, but mm-hmm. all the QBs did. And I'm a fan of all those guys, of Mitch, you know, and Mason. And so, you know, they're going to evaluate. See what they got, who they want to take the field week one, but you know, I feel like all those guys are capable.
I don't know if you saw Pickett did leave his mark on college football for sure. They outlawed the fake slide. They outlawed
slide. Yeah. That was a heck of a play.
Can Kyler do that? Kyler can do that, right? If asked, he could probably.
Yeah,
do that.
He could do that.
In his sleep, he probably can do that, right?
Yeah, that's what he do. You know, he's an incredible athlete.
You might lose your head though in the NFL though if that happens, and I don't mean figuratively, I mean literally. You know, no one can do that, right?
You got to be careful.
I bet
so. You got to be careful, no doubt about it.
James Conner, great to chat with you, sir. Let's talk during the season. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, Rich, I'll talk soon.
I'm rooting for you, as always, James. Thanks for the call.
My man.
Appreciate it. That's right. Right back at you. That's James Conner, everybody, of the Arizona Cardinals. RB1. Think about it, right?
Pittsburgh told him, see you later.
Yeah, I know he laughed when I said, maybe you spoke to Tomlin about it. I don't know if he holds anything against him there. Yeah, he laughed. No, he's like, yeah, I didn't speak to him about it. But I want to get it exactly right here. So if you don't mind me, because I don't.
What are you looking for, Rich?
He had Hodgkin's lymphoma is what he had. That's what James Conner had. Stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma, a blood cancer that affects the immune system. And this was during college. And Pittsburgh drafted him, right? Hometown kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know all about his story.
Yeah. It was there amazing. It was, when he came back from that season that he had was just unbelievable because you go through something like that.
Exactly.
And sure, in his mind, he's thinking, well, maybe not. I was going to say in his mind, he's thinking his career is over. But after listening to him talk, as we have before, and you just said you don't know if he harbors ill will towards Tomlin or anything.
Right.
When you listen to him talk, you just get the feeling that James Conner is the type of man who doesn't really harbor ill will. It seems like he just grinds and moves forward. And if it happened, you know, we move on and we have a goal and we're just going to keep, you know,
he's
marching towards that goal. So
been there, done
but
that.
But just like you, a huge James Conner fan.
Me
out
too.
Of Pitt, and
right, because he got
nothing
that,
but the best for the dude, man.
Because he got that shot in Pittsburgh, Le'Veon Bell, as we all remember,
and he
sat it out, and
he
so then
balled
and he
out
was,
that year
until
too.
he had the dreaded high ankle sprain,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't finish. James Conner was like the darling waiver wire fantasy pickup of that year. He was terrific in that role in Pittsburgh, and then the next year didn't perform nearly as well, and that was the end of his tenure in Pittsburgh, and Arizona got him, and it was one of those, oh, okay, all right.
And then
Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake, and him, and then Kenyon Drake
year.
Wound up on the Raiders, and then it was just...
He became a touchdown machine.
He did.
Yeah.
Right around like week 3, week 4 of last year.
Yeah.
And now he's RB1. That's why I want to ask him, like, you are RB1. You are the starting running back. I don't think he's had that professionally. I don't think he's ever started week 1 as the RB1 of a team. Did he the year
in
after 19? In Pittsburgh?
Maybe.
I'm just starting to, where you come out of training camp, it's your run game. It's your run room.
James. And that was his second year when he had the breakout 12 touchdowns. So, but yeah, at 19, I'm not sure who was RB1 for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Then.
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show when the phone lines are lit. We are thrilled to see that. Still to come in hour number 3, Chris Brockman's got burning questions about every single team in the National Football League.
Yes.
We're going to run them down day by day right up until kickoff of next week.
Absolutely.
And then if you missed what Kyle Shanahan had to say yesterday about bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back as the backup to the quarterback who is replacing him.
Wow.
We'll talk about that in hour number 3 here on this very busy Wednesday edition, final day of August edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Callaway Chrome Soft, engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball. And it didn't just make it the best players better. These golf balls have made everyone better. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers. The Chrome Soft family is the best tour performance for every type of performance. The Chrome Soft regulars for the most players out there. Chrome Soft X, Chrome Soft XLS are for the more experienced players out there. Every Chrome Soft is enhanced with precision technology, which uses designs, techniques, and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. So when you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Let's go to Bill in California here and on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Rich.
How are you?
I'm a Niner fan.
All right. Your thoughts, sir?
The fan base is generally extremely impatient. I'm an outlier, though, because of my supreme patience regarding Trey's development this year.
Okay.
Do you remember how inconsistent Josh Allen was early in his career?
Sure.
He played only 2 years at Wyoming, 1 year more than Trey, and he completed just 56% of his passes. In his first year with the Bills, he completed 52%. In his second year, 58%, and 69% in 2020 when he fully arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only time I want to see Jimmy on the field this year is if Trey gets banged up.
That's it.
Regardless of wins and losses.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And that is what appears to be the case, Bill, as to what Kyle Shanahan has set the table with. And we're going to play his sound bites, his highlights, if you will, of his press conference yesterday, his conference call yesterday with the media explaining what happened and what he's told all the players and how he thinks it's going to work out. The question is how patient will he be, you know, if the struggles are so significant that he'll have to turn to Garoppolo, and you just know if that happens, then you're going to have to rehabilitate Lance in many different ways that I hope doesn't happen, to be very honest with you, because that would be particularly harmful unless the 49ers win it all anyway. I agree with you that the ups and the downs have to be gone through. You've got to go through them. You've got to navigate them. You've got to expect them. And then you've got to work through them, because that's what happens most of the time. Unless he can come out of the box looking like Justin Herbert, looking like Mahomes, and looking like every other kid that came out of a first-round top five pick and or top six pick and crushed it. You know, that's my two cents on that.
Yeah. And something else I want to make sure I say is that going forward, talking to you, Rich, will always be a special memory for me.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Right back at you, Bill. Thank you. That's Bill in California. That's so nice of you to say that. I appreciate that. Let's make sure. I wanted to get out of the conversation with Bill fast.
Before he said sight?
Before he said. Before he's punking me. just kidding.
Sight.
That's exactly why I got out of that conversation very fast.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
All right. Now I'm looking down at our call sheet here. Let me just set this up. This is the caller is indeed the individual.
Indeed,
okay.
Yeah,
but
indeed.
Before we bring him in, let me just recount again what Susie and I saw on Saturday night here in Los Angeles, California. One of Susie's favorite bands, okay? You know, I don't think anybody tops, in her world, Bruce, okay? Springsteen's number one, and then everyone else is down the list. There's Coldplay, who I've seen Bruce with her, and I've seen Coldplay with her. She's never seen The Killers, and she loves The Killers, and she's gotten me into the band, The Killers. And so I took her on Saturday night to Bank of California Stadium, the new soccer stadium. You've been there, right, Chris?
I've been there a few times. It is awesome.
It is awesome.
It is awesome.
And it's a hell of a venue, and I've never seen a concert there. But anyway, so we go see The Killers, and Brandon Flowers just has the entire place in the palm of his hand. But he also has the presence of mind to look out in the crowd and see who's in the crowd. And there was an individual who held up a sign. And I don't want to, you know, I think I remember exactly what it said, but we're going to find out exactly what it said in a moment. But it was an individual saying that he's suffering from cancer and he can come up and he could play a song with the band. And he comes up and crushes it. They took him out of the crowd and he crushed it. And I took a video of it because it was truly one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. And I know bands take people out of the crowd sometimes and do, you know, put them on the stage. But I've never seen this moment that I saw, because he not only crushed it, but he also was living his best life, fighting cancer and ready to play drums on Reasons is what I think the sign said. And Reasons is shorthand for the song For Reasons Unknown, which wasn't, I don't believe, on the set list. And so I put that out there. Rex Chapman, God bless him. This is right up his alley of cleansing your timeline. He retweeted it, and it's gotten a lot of views. And is this, in fact, what's happening, Christopher?
His name is Joel. He's from Fresno, California. He's online too, Rich.
Joel, who was such a delight to see living his best life at the Killers concert, killing it like he was Ronnie Vannucci Jr., the actual drummer of the Killers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is this you, Joel?
Yeah, that's me.
How you? Congratulations! What a moment. Are you on cloud nine still, brother, or what?
Rich, I'm on another planet still, man. And I'm sitting in an infusion chair right now at the cancer center, and just. I mean, I can't imagine a happier life.
So, okay, you're a third grade teacher, correct, Joel? Is that what you do for a living? And
I do, yeah.
Okay, so what was your plan that night? Did you really think you were hopefully going to get up there that night on that
stage?
Yeah,
well, I mean, I acted as though I would, because, I mean, you're always visualizing the end game. And so I made the sign. All my friends were there, you know, shining their cell phones on it. And we made a whole lot of new friends there in the pit who were eager to help because they all got in on the plan. I had some more signs with arrows on them. And my friends held those up too, pointing at me.
Okay. And your sign read exactly what? What did it say? Again, Joel?
Yeah, it said fighting cancer and ready to play drums on reasons.
I thought I saw that.
So, and I wanted Brandon to know, like, I meant business.
Well, then you showed everybody in that stadium you meant business. So do you play drums in a band? What's your background on that?
So it's been like 20 years since I've played with other people.
What?
I met my wife when I was touring with my band. And, you know, it's so funny because we used to walk around and people tell us, like, oh, my gosh, you're with the band. I want a picture with you. And me being the drummer, I was always the guy they gave the camera to because no one ever recognized me. Mm-hmm. But then my wife's a drummer, and she knew who to look for. And she didn't give a crap that I was in the band, which was... so alluring.
Means you found the perfect partner. That's for sure. That's
absolutely.
For sure.
She's my greasy wheel with this cancer fight, and always getting the grease.
Right. So the look on your face. I think you mouthed the words. I can't believe this. Right when you got up on the stage, when they took you up on the stage. And put
so
you on the drum set.
I looked right at her and said, oh, my gosh.
That's right. That's what it was, right?
I was actually talking about just the drums themselves because, like, my first impression was like, man, these are nice.
Yes, they were, I bet. And then you got in a zone, Joel. You were awesome. You were incredible. And I know so many people who were at that concert. And that's what we took out of it. Lindsey Buckingham showed up, you know, to take part in the encore scene, Go Your Own Way. And that was incredible. But that still was second to the best thing I saw that night. And that was you. And we're looking at the selfie and looking at you. Unbelievable. What did you say to those guys when it was all over? What did you say?
So when it was all over, they came and gave me a hug. And I just... you know, through in between breaths, I was like, you guys just added years to my life. I'm so grateful.
What would you care to share with us about your fight right now, Joel?
So I'm 6 years into the fight. I have a rare cancer. It's a sarcoma, which makes up less than 1% of adult cancers, and I have one of 50 some variations of that. There's no known cure or treatment. In fact, I'm right now receiving an infusion for a kidney cancer medication. And, you know, it's just clinical trial after trial. I mean, this cancer is so rare. I was actually misdiagnosed back in 2010. They thought I had a sports injury from doing triathlons. And I was like, no, I never got hurt. And they're like, well, come back in 5 years and we'll check it out again. And 5 years later, I got a stage four cancer diagnosis. They'd gone from my leg to my lungs. And so if it had been caught soon enough, I could have maybe had surgery and been cancer free. And you know, I carry that, and that's a tough thing to live with, because I really love the person I get to be now. You know, Saturday night wouldn't have happened if that hadn't happened to me. And it's just like, when you're faced with a ticking clock that's that loud, the whole world gets a lot more colorful, and opportunities to take chances and, you know, dream big are, it's not really optional. It's just like, you got to just get out there and take it.
Well, Joel Stettler, you took it, and I will never forget it, nor will my wife, nor will anybody in that place. And I know, just seeing you take advantage of that moment, or live your best moment there, you were terrific. It was great. And just seeing how the band reacted and how the crowd reacted, it was just awesome.
It was a beautiful moment. And everyone in the pit was giving me high fives after. I was like, okay, we're all family now. Like, we're pit family. Sorry for blocking your view for the first half of the show.
With all my arrows? That's awesome.
You said yesterday, or the day before, when you're talking about the concert, you quoted, I think it was Wayne Gretzky.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was talking with my wife about that. And I think my biggest takeaway from what you were saying was, and I'm going to tell this to everyone I know now, you got to live your life, you got to take chances, so that when people talk about what you did, they've got to quote Wayne Gretzky when they do it.
Like I said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, but you also can make 100% of the moment that you have in front of you when you get the opportunity. And it's so difficult to do that. It's so difficult to just say, go for it. And it's so difficult to live in the moment and crush it. And that's what I took away from it. That's what my wife, Susie, took away from it. And I think that's what everybody took away from it. Truly. I've met people who were at the concert through, you know, or didn't know that my friends were there. That's all they're talking about were you, Joel. And it's true. They were talking about you and your moment. And I will never forget it. And let's now that we're in contact here, let's stay in touch. Okay, Joel? Let's do that.
I'm for it.
Okay, I'm going to follow you on Twitter. Absolutely. And then let's exchange information and whatever I can do to help. I know you've got a foundation, right? Running Buddies Project. I've got about a minute and a half before my radio stations jump, but what can you tell me?
Running Buddies was a project that we definitely kind of went for there, but I'm mostly excited to be supporting the Brave Like Gabe organization and a couple others that I'll tell you about later.
Okay. Well, everyone can follow you at @Hey_Mr_Stettler, and your third grade students must have a great time in your class and have their future made brighter and their minds expanded and their hearts bigger. And my world is better for having seen your performance, which it was. And I appreciate you reaching out, man. And I'm so glad that we are going to be in contact now, Joel.
Oh, man, me too. Thank you so much, Rich.
You bet. Be well.
Fine, Joel.
Yeah. And thanks for calling in and sharing your story.
Keep it up, Joel.
Beautiful. That's my new friend, Joel.
That was awesome.
But wouldn't you say he's kind of like our friend now?
Yes.
Like, you're here, Mr. Hand. And,
yes. It's all our time right here.
That's amazing, though. Yeah.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.